I've already rolled a 4 and a 3, and I'm feeling good about those numbers.
Okay. And it's we're doing the Touring Rock Band thing, right?
Yeah.
This is the last ever episode of Cthulhu, right?
See, I made that joke, and yep, we're going to have to stick to it.
Yeah,
no, wait,
well,
this is going to be like a 40-minute long thing. It's barely an episode. It doesn't count.
Well, if it's a 40-minute episode,
it's a minisode.
I'm trying to scroll down. I don't know if we even be able to... All right, here we go. Okay, so for three players. One bad friend heals you his career. The grind, boss/offstage, musician, and family, twins. Which one for which? That's just... Replace the boss offstage slash musician with the reporter and thing that you just said a second ago. Then we'll... Him and me. Also, I'm really fucking hungry. This is a bad time. Do you know what? Instead of having an episode, because we've got 40 minutes and there's no whatever, there's not going to be time. You're going to get like halfway through it and then.
How about instead we improvise an episode of Star Trek?
Let's improvise an episode of Star Trek.
Now, a short commercial break. Advertising for Folgers Coffee.
Do you like coffee? How about...
I like coffee, yes.
Well, I like... You know, I'm not a fan of coffee, so why don't you convince me what's great about coffee?
It's already over. Captain Picard is yelling at his replicator, trying to get it to stop giving him coffee instead of tea. Blast it! This dying machine is...
I'm sorry, there's a problem with the replicator. It replicates things that I want it to do. Instead of what anyone else wants to do.
Man, what? From the commercial, what are you doing on our ship?
Well, I bought this show. I bought this ship. And, you know, I'm very rich because of the money from the commercials, so...
You didn't actually like coffee.
Well, I'll let you know that not everything that you read in a TV show is real. This is a brand thing. I'm a sales guy. I'm a sales guy and I'm very rich. And because you don't have any concept of money, it was extremely easy to buy this ship because I just gave any amount and it was more than you were paying for it. So, I mean, this is a publicly run, publicly traded Starship.
I can't believe that no one had thought of that in all this time.
Well,
I think at least the Borg would have come up with something. But
well,
wait,
I,
how have the Ferengi not bought us already then?
Well, I had this delicious tasting brand name coffee to energize my brain cells.
Is that a cup of Folgers American blend? Is that one? I just made a word up.
It's a cup of Folgers American Blend coffee. Also, I've eaten this Folgers American Blend coffee based snack.
Folgers, not just coffee anymore. Now also solids.
Yeah, we took it, we froze it, and then we heated it up, but very slowly, so that it was like still a solid. And it's all done with smoke and mirrors. So anyway, what's going on? What's new on the Enterprise?
Well, so the first thing that's new is we have to all get in the airlock to go outside and repaint the name. We're changing it to the USS Capitalist Enterprises. Capitalist Enterprise.
With a TM at the end. And
with a TM at the end.
I'm George Hernandez, CEO of Capital Enterprises. I just beamed in to oversee operations.
This is a very busy corridor. So
corridor.
Well, you know, the bustling life aboard a starship.
Whatever happened to Captain Picard? When he here for a minute ago? Is he just gone?
He's still wrestling with the replicator over there.
Well,
Has anyone told him about the merger?
He can wrestle all he wants. I was trying to tell him about the merger. That's one of the first things that I beamed in and I tried to tell everybody. But, well, I say I beamed in. I mean, I walked in, but...
I noticed you came in upset. And then we're just going to put in sparkle effects in post.
Well, yeah. I like to leave a place without me there in it for a while, and then I'll walk in, and then later I'll go into the camera of the ship. And
whoops! Picard has begun firing his phaser at the replicator.
Set phaser to slow roasted.
He is slow roasting the replicator. Noxious gases begin filling the hallway.
It smells like delicious Folgers coffee.
Yeah, it's so strong. Think that it'd be like a bad thing, but it's actually quite sweet.
I know you don't like coffee, but this is nice. You have to admit.
Captain Picard has collapsed onto the replicator, enshrouded with fumes.
Oh, I guess I have to go rescue him.
Immediately, let's just relax there and bask in the smell of this delicious Folgers brand name coffee.
You know, I'm really glad you bought out the Federation, because under the old leadership, an ensign like me would have died saving Captain Picard just there.
Well, you know, I bring a lot of changes, but I'll tell you something that never changes. It's a delicious taste. Of Folgers brand name coffee. It's as delicious now as it is the first time that you have had a cup.
Yeah, I hear it lasts a long time, not even like sealed.
There's now a cup of Folgers in the replicator.
Well, then the replicator is doing its job. So.
Would you like to take the cup of Folgers instant coffee?
It's just too bad that every time someone tries to replicate a cup of coffee, our entire computer systems are just devoted to that one task.
Yeah.
That seems like something that may cause problems down the road.
Well, that's the next step after you guys finish painting the new name on the side of the ship.
Well, that's just it, is that we're painting the name on the side of the ship, and then you don't want the shields up and, like, disrupting everyone's view.
That is true.
Maybe someone could, like, on the scanner, like, they might not see us because of, sort of stealth things. And I think, shut that down.
I think we
want as many people to see us as possible.
We ditch the shields, and we get rid of all our guns and all our phasers and photon torpedoes, too, because we don't want to get in any fights and damage our branding on the side of the ship.
Whoops.
That doesn't look good.
There's an alert coming in from the bridge.
This, the red alert reminds me of the new it'll wake you up like a red alert.
We're under attack by
Jonathan, panicked and worried. Red alert, Folgers coffee.
We're under attack by the old Voyager that was bought out by Red Bull.
Yes, hailing you on the main screen, Captain Janeway, looking very, very erratic, with a Red Bull clenched in one hand.
Damn it, Janeway, if only Picard was here to talk you down and not collapsed in the burning replicator over there. Someone should do something about that.
Replicator over there.
Where the coffee brought him back to his feet.
Wait, the coffee? You take a look at the cup of coffee, and it has Picard's insignia on it. He has been replicated into the cup of coffee.
I'm going to use my scanner and scan it.
Janeway, you and the Red Bull Corporation can just wait. We're busy over here. Just give us a minute.
Janeway says to open fire.
Their photon torpedo tubes open, but they just start spitting out six packs of Red Bull.
Those six packs are coming at you. It's 2,000 miles per hour.
We just painted that too.
2,000 miles per hour. That reminds me of like how fast acting the caffeine is.
It's sure kicking in just as fast as our warp 9 drives kick in. Let's go to warp 9.
We should probably go to the bridge before we do that, right? Maybe we all just hang out in this corridor.
I figure whoever's on the bridge is probably thinking the same things we are. We're a unified front here.
Hold on.
Unified front? Like,
well, we had to keep the brand. We're basically another board collective. We had to do something to make sure our brand was all together.
You'd think that maybe Picard would have said something about that when he was here.
Well, he was actually the first when the replicator fused him with that cup of coffee. That's what sparked the idea, and it just went through our system so fast, much like the caffeine.
Now everyone on the bridge is a cup of coffee.
Oh, well, everyone's just a cup of coffee now?
As you walk onto the bridge, you see nothing but simple little cups in all the seats.
I remember that back
at his terrifying face.
Back when we were a normal ship, you know, just doing the things we did, we had to escort a lot of ambassadors. And they were always getting into tricky situations. But now it's only brand ambassadors, and they're professionals, so.
Well, this is might not be the best situation right now. I don't know what I'm saying. It is the best situation. Not having all this coffee. I mean, I'm a little bit concerned about maybe the ship being blown up.
You sound a bit jumpy. Here. You're getting a bit jumpy. I'm going to go get you a nice Folgers decaf. Mellow out.
Oh, no thanks. I'll just drink one of these Cokes flying around.
More loudly. You drink one, it tastes like a navigation officer.
It tastes, I think I can navigate better.
I think that's how it works.
You're beginning to lose your sight.
I'm fusing with the ability to navigate. I'm losing all of my excess sight, like Daredevil. I'm getting better at navigation because of, you know, one of my senses has to go for my sense of direction to kick in.
Due to your enhanced sense of navigation, you can now detect the missiles that are almost upon the ship. But because you are now the concept of navigation, you have no physical hands with which to manipulate control.
I feel like our ship, I feel like Warp 9 was a lot faster before we emptied out all the warp drive tubes and filled them with Folgers coffee. I don't know why we thought that would work.
Faster, but less focused.
Yeah, we can get a lot done.
I'm getting a lot done out here being the concept of navigation. I don't know if you want to... Is there anything you want to know where the direction of it is? Because I'm pretty on top of that.
I don't know. I think I'm just gonna wedge the acceleration switch up to maximum.
Scotty appears on a little monitor beside your control and says, "You can't undo it, Captain."
I thought you died. As
strong as it can be.
I thought you died like 400, 300 years ago. I don't know.
Scotty just grins at you.
Oh, with a knowing wink.
Oh. The ship rocks with a massive explosion. All's filled with smoke. Do you have any last words?
New Folgers American blend at a store near you. Good coffee. Good capitalism.
Wait. You hear a chuckle in appreciation from your pitch, and the picture of Scotty morphs into the delightful face of Q.
Q, what are you doing here?
Q tells the two of you that he appreciates your branding efforts, but he thinks that your enthusiasm is lacking. He wants you to pitch him on a brand of coffee that is the most unappealing one in the universe. Or else he will just...
You mean the Q-niverse?
No, the universe.
Okay, how long can we throw this to a room? Like, do we have to do it on the spot, Q?
Yeah, elevator pitch, he says. Claps
okay, we'll meet you in the turbo lift.
Yep, you're in a turbo lift.
I was hoping we could walk there and you wouldn't just teleport us, Q.
I don't need to think
about this.
I don't need to walk anywhere. I'm the concept of navigation. I just sort of float around, I think.
But he has given you a prism that allows you to speak and float in various places.
I know the direction of everything in the universe, and I can tell you that the direction of flavor is in this coffee. What's it called?
It's called Bulger's fever-inducing diarrhea juice.
Bulger's fever-inducing diarrhea juice.
You know,
because
people always say that coffee makes them shit, but I never got that. It's a diuretic, but that doesn't mean diarrhea. That means your blood vessels open up more. Is that an urban legend? Hold up, I'm gonna space Wikipedia this. Just give me a minute. I know we're in a meeting. I know we're in a meeting, but just give me a couple.
Q frowns with disapproval.
Listen, Q, we can't all be all-knowing.
Q says, oh, I suppose it wouldn't be any fun if you were. And then he fills your mind with the entire contents of Space Wikipedia.
Oh God. I can feel my memory being edited and bickered over as we speak.
It's true.
I never sourced. I didn't have proper sources for my childhood memories. I lost all those photos.
Fractured stubs.
The moderators have edited them out. I'm losing sense of self.
It's not so bad. Just go with it.
You know, I know a lot more about navigation than I did before. I think we could have some nice conversations.
Oh, well, you might know a lot about navigation, but... I'm a little bit ahead.
Oh no, Q says that he's being very bored, and says you have one more chance to give this pitch.
Yeah, the pitch.
Okay, wait, okay, we brew the coffee. Instead of coffee beans, we use kidney beans. And instead of brewing it in water, we brew it in kidney juice.
We brew it in your butt.
We brew it in your butt.
Kidney juice in a real man's bum.
No, specifically yours, Q. But we don't think it's going to be a production problem.
Q grabs his buttocks and giggles. Woo! Q has decided your coffee will suffice for now. Then so does this episode of Star Trek close. The world is restored to its former state, with the exception that now all coffee is kidney beans and kidney juice and tastes faintly of Q's.
Let's throw it a commercial. No, it stays on the same scene. Now we just all walk over to a replicator and start getting coffees. Man, this new Folgers blend, I don't know what's in it, but it tastes like kidney beans. It's just brewed in some sort of omnipotent being's butthole. I mean, it's pretty much the same as all other coffee that's ever existed throughout time, right? But it's good. Folgers.
The Folgers. This episode of Cthulhu Operate is sponsored by Folgers.
Right?
No, it's not.
I'm gonna eat this. I'm gonna eat this burger.
I think that'll be good to put up on the website.
Cthulhu Operate, good enough.
I can just see it now. We didn't do a real episode this week, but we did spin this anus bullshit. Come join us for a while. No, what we need is like an animator or something. We need the Game Grumps this and just get someone to be like, I will draw the entirety of it. Wait, reverse Game Grumps. Get Ego after it.
Why hasn't he done that yet? I mean, I'm sure he's busy, but
hasn't he?
If he made an animation for like a Rivals YouTube Let's Play channel.
Oh, are we allowed? Wait, what? Oh, hasn't he? It seems like the kind of thing he would do.
Maybe. Maybe.
Someone was like, Igaraptor, I lost some of my Psychonauts footage. Could you draw me some silly little psychic campers? You'd be like, girl, I've already got an entire subdirectory, literally, about that. Slightly more campsuits than you would want. I can Photoshop those out.
That sounds canon to the Star Trek universe. That's why Picard was only ever getting Earl Grey tea hot. All the coffee. It's no good. Yeah,
that's how this episode gets a sequel. Is Picard goes on a one-man Rambo-esque journey.
Is he still a cup of coffee?
Yes.
No, he's a ghost.
All right.
Really, he's a ghost.
Is he a ghost trapped in the holodeck program?
Yeah, did you see the last episode of Star Trek? That was in the final episode.
The sky's the limit.
In the first episode, they went in the holodeck, right? Like Geordi and someone did. So, all right. Suppose that they just never left. The whole thing has been whoever the number two guy was, or number one.
Riker.
It was Riker and Geordi, and they found Data, and Data was like, yo, this holodeck is pretty swank. What if there are no other characters? The whole thing is just them.
Hmm. Doesn't sound bad. What if they improvised every episode?
That would never work.
Yeah, it would never work. Even if it was audio only.
It would make Data lore a very weird filming experience where Britt Ratner just sort of starts turning around and facing different directions on set and talking in slightly different voices. But like, Brent, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, shh, I'm an evil robot twin.
How would he telecast that out when he switches between characters?
Well, it like
really get confusing.
Either he has, like, half a mustache on his face.
I programmed myself to have this mustache. I, Lore, was made the more perfect version. That's why I have this glorious mustache.
Oh, man, now I'm just imagining Data with, like, a solid dad stash.
No.
It's a big, thick, fluffy mustache.
Someone told me the other day that they thought I was going to get really great at dad jokes, and I just wanted to punch him out. Dad jokes and dad stashes. Got too much of that in my
okay,
life.
Let's improvise another Star Trek episode, but we can only do dad jokes.
Also, we have 18 minutes. No. Wait, it's just... What? Yeah. Okay, so Geordi walks in a restaurant and he orders some mostaccioli and he goes, the mostaccioli, eh? When he does it. And the Italian-American waiter sort of goes, oh, yeah, all right, sure. And then he goes, and when it takes a long time, he looks across at Data and he says, where do you go for it? Really, Italy? And Data laughs. Right?
Data laughs and twirls his one half of a mustache.
And then Geordi looks at Data and says, it's like a half stash.
I mustache you to stop making fun of me all the time.
Oh, that high five. The waiter comes back with mostaccioli. He says, I must chow down.
Hello, waiter. My name's Data, and I'll be your customer today.
What's Guy Pearce's Prom Mementos favorite kind of coffee, except for Folger's brand coffee?
Memento?
I don't actually know any brands of coffee other than Folgers American.
It's
L.A. Noir?
I'm trying to get to the punchline. It's
shit.
Affogato.
Okay.
Okay.
Where'd they go to get it? Your real Italy?
Where it goes in and then just stops. Captain Picard is sitting across being like, hey, what's Guy Pearce's favorite brand of coffee? And then Ruth says, what? And he's like, no, wait, it's not that. Is it? Oh, gosh.
And then, like, in the middle of the next red alert on the bridge, just yells at, Affogato.
Affogato.
And it turns out that's a racial slur in certain dialects of Klingon.
Oh no. Another Klingon.
Things just get really hairy and then it's a cliffhanger.
The Geordi leans over and it's like, oh, reminds me of when my dad caught me. Turning the car station to a rock station. Whoa.
Oh man, don't touch the thermostat.
Yeah, mine's dad. Even the front door open in summer. Whoa.
The Klingons open fire, and Scotty comes up on the screen and says, if we take one more hit, we're going to lose life support. And Picard says, don't touch the thermostat.
Scotty's back.
Scotty's back.
fucking Scotty. Star Trek Enterprise, Scotty. Deep Space Nine, Scotty.
The copy wasn't the only thing Q changed at the end of the last episode.
Oh.
He also replaced all forms of humor with dad jokes. And as a consequence, specifically of only those two changes, Scotty is still alive.
Q is a chuckling away up in his Q-verse, being like, oh man, I must ask you a question. That's great.
And all the while, he's wearing an authentic Civil War uniform.
Yes.
Because what was that all about?
Right. Was that something he wore?
Yeah, all the Q had a fight, and when they brought, like, Picard and some other people to the Q-verse to see it, it was just all the Q in a Civil War uniform, and they were like, it's too complicated for your minds to understand, so you're just seeing it as the Civil War, the American Civil War.
What?
Yeah, it was
hot garbage.
It was some hot garbage.
Star Trek. Why is
so? As I was saying, I think they just improvised it all, right?
That bit sounds pretty fucking off the cuff. Like
one of the costume designers was really into a Civil War reenactment.
No, I bet it was because
they were sharing the set with someone else.
Yeah, they just were like, oh man, we don't have any soldier costumes, but we have all these Civil War costumes.
They were like, okay, so the Q are like all powerful, so how would they have a Civil War amongst themselves, huh?
Oh.
What if it was just the Civil War, not a Civil War?
Also, that's like terrible connotations, because that would mean that like the Q were enslaving something, and how the hell does that...
Half of the Q wanted to liberate the slaves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get it. But like being a slave to the Q, well, like the whole point of the Q was, like, hey, aren't you glad that we're not just killing you right now? We totally could. Let me demonstrate it for you by facsimilating all the aspects of death except for the death part. Ooh, it was freaky, wasn't it? And then they just sort of laugh for a while, and you're like, can I please get back to my spaceship now? And they're like, no. Then they introduce the Borg to the plot. That's a dick move. I didn't watch much of Star Trek and Next Generation, but I got to the point where Q just sort of dangles the Enterprise in front of a giant Borg ship as if to say, like, whoop, look at this. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And then it, like, later on when the Borg show up, it's revealed like, yeah, no, so Q threw you back to where you were, and then the Borg just sort of watched that happen and then followed you, and it took them 2 years.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing all that.
What a bunch, what an asshole.
Yeah, and he didn't help out. He was too busy.
No! Oh, he's just fucking...
Do you have any Civil War reenactment?
Picard becomes a Borg, and Q's like, look at the fucking facial things. Oh my god, this is so hilarious.
And what was up with that episode where he was just really into coffee? He just wanted everyone to pitch him coffee ideas.
What was up with that episode? I didn't like that one very much.
Yeah, and the overt Red Bull branding sponsorship deals.
In the weird prediction of the casting of the show Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Maybe it isn't improvised. Maybe they do have this all planned out. I want to see where it's going.
Maybe they have the next 6 Star Trek movies written right now.
Are they gonna... In the reboot, are they gonna reboot all the way up to Picard?
Actually,
sure as hell can't do the search for Spock now, because nobody died in the second Star Trek movie, so they don't have anyone to search for.
No, at the very start of the reboot, an ensign's just gonna, like, wander out of the holodeck and be like, man, wasn't that some good adventures?
Oh, and,
start all over.
And that happens at the start of the reboot.
Yeah, they're writing off everything that's happened so far, so they can go back to all the old characters.
Oh, you mean the start like of the next reboot, when they reboot the next time?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
that's how they're going to reboot the Marvel Universe. They're just like, at the end of one movie, they're going to sort of do reverse flashbacks to all the other movies, and then it'll end with Samuel Jackson at his desk being like, man, that's a pretty okay idea, but I want to do something different. And then he gets up, the credits ripple.
Or there's going to be a... just like in the middle of the final fight, someone will punch Iron Man and he'll be tumbling backwards, and then he'll just like go through, like break a hole in the middle of the skybox and just be like lying on the ground outside of a chamber like, man, that new holodeck I've been building sure is good. Maybe I should build a real suit like that in real life as well.
And then he goes, then he gets up, goes back on back in the Star Trek Enterprise.
It's not like it could ever be as good as it is in the holodeck.
I think I'll just focus on developing my mastery over all animals in the sea instead. Grabs trident.
I'd say joins the Justice League, and that's how he goes into the Justice League movie.
Yep. He's gonna
how
play
a reboot from that.
Oh,
Aquaman
Lantern reboot. Let's do a Green Lantern reboot where that Robert Downey Jr. plays Green Lantern and then successfully recast every Marvel actor in as like their rough DC counterparts.
Yeah.
I want the Captain America actor to be Superman. I want whoever plays Black Widow to be
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Scarlett Johansson should be Wonder Woman, more possible, after Lucy, which I still hate the sound of, but I cannot find anyone else who agrees with me, so I'm becoming very dispirited.
What if remember how they, well, obviously they did like a movie, one or two movies for all the characters building up to then doing the Avengers? And yeah, that was ended with someone showing up from S.H.I.E.L.D. and being like, let's talk, let's wrap.
Yep.
I have a casting position for you.
Right, yeah.
They said that in the movie, it was really weird.
Yeah, he said, I've got a casting position for you, but first I want you to read some lines, and then the red lines from the Avengers.
Just during the credits in the background. No, what if they just did every superhero movie, but every single time it was just Robert Downey Jr. playing every character?
Kind of like a Kung Pao End of the Fist thing, where who's the guy, Bob Odenkirk, green screened himself into this Kung Fu movie? Like, it should be Robert Downey Jr. green screens himself into every single pre-made superhero movie.
Yeah, and at the end of each movie, like, someone from S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up to recruit him and just, like, does a double take and be like, wait, haven't I already talked to you? It's...
No, but then...
In the Justice League movie, there's a lot... It's still written by Joss Whedon, so there's a lot of back and forth. And literally everyone on the ship is Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, because then there's a Nick Fury movie, and then at the end of the Nick Fury movie, because it's Samuel L. Jackson the whole time, but then at the end of the Nick Fury movie, Samuel L. Jackson pulls off a mask, and it's Robert Downey Jr.
No, he takes off his eye patch, and like as he's pulling it up, it's still Samuel L. Jackson, but then it like cuts away to everyone's surprised reaction, and it turns around, and it's Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, and all the people, like, all the people that are surprisingly reacting are also Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
This is the third Matrix movie we're describing. Remember Donnie Jr. is going to plunge his hand into Scarlett Johansson's chest and be like, "Bar, bar," she's going to grow a suit and a bald head.
Well, funny enough, that's how that version of the movie ends after he pulls off the eye patch. It zooms out and the architect's just like, it's going good for once. Everything's fine in this universe.
Yeah, that should be how the last Marvel movie ends, with the architect just being like, that looks good, I'm signing off on this version.
And then it doesn't actually end there. He just like walks off set and the camera follows him, and he goes through like a couple buildings and then shows up at an audition for a KFC commercial.
And then he gets the job, and then he goes to an actual KFC and just eats a meal there, and he says, you know, it's not that bad, so, you know.
And then, yeah, and he gets up from the table, and he walks away, but the camera stays sitting across from him at the table where it was as he leaves the store, and just slowly zooms across the store to outside a window on the far side. You can see a poster for the Avengers, and it's just all Robert Downey Jr.'s.
And then Robert Downey Jr. tears down the poster.
He busts through it. And then what? He's standing on the stage in the movie theater we're at.
Yes. He busts through the cinema screen. And he's there in every single showing. And the movie is like a week long, so that he gets time to see every single showing. Because it follows, like, the actual movie, the movie itself, like, most of the movie lasts about, like, 2 hours, but then the rest of it is following in real time the architect as he goes around.
Funny thing is, they can only show it at movie theaters within a 1 kilometer distance to a KFC.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the contract. Rough, really.
Mm.
Yeah. But the movie theaters all get to serve KFC, which means you get chicken.
Anyway, you have to go now, right?
Popcorn.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm rustling some papers, getting the other stuff. But yeah.
All right. Well, it's too bad you have to leave now, but there's only like one or two more dice to give out, and we'll finish this game of Fiasco, so.
Black dice, the chicken was dry. You don't like it.
Oh, that's a roll for the tilt. We were all Robert Downey Jr. as well. Oh, man. I can't believe that was just there. It worked so well for our plot in the tilt PDF.
By Folger's brand slow roasted coffee.
And if it was my website, .com, I would put up the Star Trek episode and be like, yo, guys, yo. Look
at now this we have
content I've delivered out to the internet.
Yes. I was going to say, this is an episode we wouldn't have to edit at all, and we could just put up as like a joke placeholder sometime when we're running late. But no, we will have to edit it because you used your last name.
Well, yeah, so just cut it off. Cut it off at the end of the Star Trek bit before we just start rambling on.
I'm not going to lose this gold.
Yeah, this is... Okay, we can cut it off. We can cut it off when Robert Downey Jr. busts through the poster and then through the screen onto the stage.
And then he says, Busted makes me feel good, and that's the announcement for Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, he says, Busted makes me feel good, and then the Ghostbusters car follows him through the screen.
Yeah.
Busts out and just hits a bunch of people in the crowd.
And then...
And then their ghosts come out. And everyone's like, well, I guess that's casting. Let's wrap. Let's go. Start shooting.
And then everybody sounds starts good. Shooting, and it's a massacre.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 votes.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Good luck with the apartment.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry. Look. The difficult thing is going to be when they show that movie on TV, and then Robert Downey Jr. has to bust out of everybody's TV sets. And
Willy Wonka's been working on the technology, so.
Yes. Since 1902, when the first Willy Wonka movie came out. Anyway, good luck, everybody. Thank you for playing.
Yeah.
But thank you for improvising. Thank you for listening. And good night. Good night, everybody.
Tonight.